feeding of the Lord to kind of break off with this being the last service we'll have until the 9th of January. I didn't want to go any further into the teaching we've been doing on the gifts of the Spirit, but I felt the Lord, a strong impression from the Holy Spirit, and I didn't know I was going to have the capability to show you what we're going to show you tonight. Thank God for our great technical people and Phil and Chris. But just kind of, for lack of a better thing, current events tonight in the church world. And as we preached on Sunday, and I thank God for the powerful presence of the Lord we had on Sunday. Jesus is coming.
Yeah, you learned that.
And I've got a video I want to show you tonight. I made mention of this on Sunday morning real briefly, and I really feel it important that you see it to get the full import of what a sad state really most of the church is in and how close we are to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the rapture of the church. But before that, I had to share with you, I got a precious email from Abby Burke. I was trying to think of her last name. You know her and Corey. They've been coming and due to some reasons beyond their control of job situation, they had to leave us for a while. But they've been coming back, and Abby wrote me an email on Tuesday afternoon. I'm sorry. And she told me and was thanking the church, really, for the way that we worship and for the presence of God she felt. She said, Pastor, she said, I stood there. She said, I had to grip the pew. She said, my whole body was shaken. And she said, I haven't felt the presence of God like that before. And her email went on to relate, here's what I wanted to share with you. And Abby's, this is how the Holy Spirit operates. When he does something, it is just done so right. So right, you know. And I love it when you know it come from God and it couldn't have been manipulated by man or man had nothing to do with it. Because I don't mean to discredit Abby in any way. But she's new in the Lord. She's young in the Lord. You know, she's growing, and she's not, I guess, what you would call a mature believer in a lot of ways, but yet she loves God. And she shared with me in her email how, you may recall in that service, on after we'd really ministered on the little horn of Daniel and how close we are to the rapture of the church and the coming of the Lord, at one point in the altar service, I really felt the Holy Spirit wanted to say something to us. And Paula was speaking in tongues. And I felt Paula was given a message that the Lord wanted to speak to us. That's why I took the time and said that. And Abby was writing in her email. She so humbly and beautifully stated it. She said, Pastor, I'm sorry. She says, for I know the Lord spoke to my heart what Paula was saying. And she said, it was one simple phrase. I'm coming. I'm coming. Praise God. Praise God. Don't you feel that? I just feel the Holy Ghost all over that. I had to get away from my desk at work and go down. Thank God we got that little, I call it a meditation room. But I had to go down there and weep. I thought, oh God. See, he's speaking to his people, to those who are hungry for him. And they're going to be in the minority. I'm going to tell you that right now. Those who have really sought to follow God and follow Jesus Christ in totality, they've always been a minority. They really have been throughout history. But the good thing is, it don't take many of them if God puts his anointing on them. And I'm just so grateful to God that came from somebody who is new in our church and feels the presence of God that way. Because as we preached on Sunday, that confirms to me that God's pleased with us. And by that, I'm not saying that we're a perfect church, that we're doing everything right. No church does. There's not a church on this planet that does. But you can be perfected by your faith in Christ and what he did at the cross, not only as an individual, but as a body of believers. It takes his blood to cover this entire body, just like it does us as an individual. And with our corporate faith, being in Christ and what he did at the cross, that's what frees the Holy Spirit to move in our service, just like he does in our individual lives. It takes the blood of Jesus Christ. But to have what that presence means and what Abby felt means so much because it is an affirmation and a confirmation from the portals of glory that the Lord is saying, I am pleased with you. Praise God. And it's not because of what we do. Please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. It's because of what this church believes. My Lord, it so humbles me and makes me feel such gratitude toward the Lord because, my goodness, I look at some of the things I see and do week in and week out that I know that, I mean, I don't do them intentionally. I think you know what I'm talking about. We all fall short of God's glory. And I'm keenly aware of that. And believers, we should be keenly aware of that. It's healthy. Why? Because it reminds us we need Him. We need Him. It reminds me continually, and I praise God for it. I'm nothing without Him. I'm nothing without Him. And to have somebody feel the presence of God that way. And I told her, I wrote her back, and I said, Abby, anytime the Holy Spirit moves on you that way, and that was definitely the Holy Spirit of God, you do what He's telling you to do. You will not be out of order. But think of that, I am coming. I am coming. She said it was exploding on the inside of me, Pastor. And she says, I wanted to say it so bad, but I was afraid I'd do something wrong. That's why we're having this teaching on the gifts of the Spirit. Not so much so that you'll become intellectually informed, but I want to make everyone in this church comfortable with operating in the Holy Spirit. And I'm doing the teaching for the reason that I want you to be able to identify in yourself that, hey, this is the Holy Spirit speaking to me. And move in it without fear, knowing that you'll be in order. But conversely, there's the shouting part of tonight's service. You're going to see here on this video tonight that I mentioned in the message on Sunday morning, two men, Rod Parsley and Perry Stone. And what they say will be illumination enough for you. But what I want you to know is I've watched the entire half-hour segment. We're not going to spend that long on it, probably about 5 to 10 minutes. But these two men claiming these great revelations from God and how there's a portal opened over tonight, 12-12-12, over this church service they're going to be having near Cleveland, Tennessee. And they go on and on about this for a half hour and about their anointings and about how they're going to transfer the anointing. They're going to transfer the anointing onto these prayer cloths and into all these people that are going to be congregated because there's been a special portal of glory that God said has opened up over Cleveland, Tennessee. And not one time in the whole half-hour segment do they mention the name of Jesus Christ. Now, we're not talking about Catholics here. We're talking about supposed evangelical believers who believe in a born-again, baptized in the Spirit experience. And here's what I want you to see tonight. What you're about to see, and I don't back down one iota from saying it, it is demonic. It is demonic. And that's the state. How close must we be to the coming of the Lord that the church is sunk to that level? And I'm with that in mind, Chris, go ahead and start it. Play about the first 2 or 3 minutes of it, and then I'd like you to move to about the just maybe a portion about 10 minutes before it ends. Okay? Okay. Watch this for just a moment.
Thank you from the bottom of my heart, and thank you from all the partners.
Well, let me say it's a joy to have you here, and there is an assignment on the state of Tennessee.
Yeah.
There's an assignment in this area, and I want to say this by the Holy Spirit, by revelation. You are sitting in a studio where 40 miles from here, the very first outpouring of the Spirit took place in the 1800s.
Listen to this, partners.
In Murphy, North Carolina. And, Pastor, if you know anything about, and you do, how God counts time. There's vertical time, which is spiritual time. I call it Jacob's ladder. There's horizontal time, which is moving from one point to another. But there's cyclical time, which is prophetic time.
Yes.
In cyclical time, everything comes in full circle. And so we have noted over the years how that God raised up a great movement of His Spirit in the hills of Tennessee, this part of the country, over 100 years ago. And it formed several major denominations, and the gospel went around the world. We are absolutely convinced by the revelation of the Holy Spirit that the state of Tennessee and this part of the country is going to be an open window, an open ladder, almost like a Jacob's ladder of God's favor and blessing with prayer. And God has put you on an assignment, I know, to conduct a major service,
yes,
not far from here, not far from where the outpouring of the Spirit occurred.
Right.
And I just hope and pray as people pay attention, very careful attention today to this program, that you will participate in what Pastor Parsley is about to show you. It is very significant. It is not a coincidence.
No, no, no.
It is not a man-made thing.
No.
It is a divine sovereign moment.
Yes.
We call it a Kairos moment.
That's
of the Holy Spirit.
That's it.
That we are into.
And, you know, Dr. Stone, when I was here about a year and a half ago, just a little ways up the road here, I had been in about 75 churches in 2.5 months.
Wow.
Across the country, directed by the Holy Spirit to go and do that. When I got to Ootah, Tennessee, just outside Chattanooga,
right,
just up the road from here.
No, 20 minutes from here.
Right. Walking down the center aisle of a church I'd never been in my life, I stopped midway down that aisle. The Holy Spirit apprehended me. Now listen, friends, when God speaks, it marks the spot.
Wow.
And God spoke to me in that moment by the power of the Holy Spirit, and he said, there is a portal here.
Wow.
This is where I want you to conduct the Miracle Healing and Victory Prayer Cloth service, the worldwide event. 12, 12, 12 is so powerfully significant. December 12th, 2012.
Wow.
This date will not occur again in your lifetime. And God is saying 3, the number of God himself, and the number 12, completion. God's saying, whatever you've been believing for, I'm believing that God is going to bring that to fruition and completion. And the devil's assignment against you right now is scheduled to be canceled. And we're going to be believing together,
you know,
for
it. You said
that
something
night
there that just kind of struck me, because you had 12 sons of Jacob.
That's right.
You had 12 apostles in the New Testament, and you had 12 original courses of priests that served 2 hours a day.
Yes.
Now think about this. There is no question in the Bible that colors have specific meanings.
They do.
Metals have specific meanings.
They do.
Gold is divinity. Silver is redemption. Brass is humanity, for example. And it's that way throughout the Bible.
My.
And even numbers are significant.
Yeah.
I know years ago when I began to preach this, people oftentimes don't pay attention to, or
right,
they sort of criticize what they're not familiar with.
Well, yeah, we're always afraid of what we don't know.
Yeah, you've learned that through ministry over
here.
Sure,
sure.
But
can you believe a rational believer who's filled with the Holy Spirit could tolerate that for any length of time at all? Or yet they're going to be multiplied millions around the world. And do you notice how they, did you notice what was missing? No mention of Jesus, they mentioned God. No mention of Jesus Christ. It's Pentecostal universalism, what you're seeing right there. No mention, just this generic God. And did you notice how they made all these declarations? God said, God said, God said. No scripture to back up anything at all they were talking about. God's not going to do anything different in 12, 12, 12. And there's no portal of glory opened over Cleveland, Tennessee, as we made mention on Sunday. There's one portal of glory, and that place is Calvary, where that was opened up. And that's the only place the glory falls. And naturally, they're leading toward a big offering. That's what this is all about. I think you've seen enough there in the introduction. It just goes on the same way. And did you notice how Perry Stone brought out about this cyclical revelation and horizontal revelation and again, show me that scripture. This is what the Bible talked about in the last days, that false prophets would come with great swelling words. That's exactly what you're seeing right here. That's exactly what you're seeing. Great swelling words of men, not of God. There's no scripture to back up anything these two men just said. And again, what's glaringly obvious is the omission of Jesus Christ. His name is not mentioned in this whole half-hour program. And now they're bringing it down to the offering. I hope Phil can. I think it's about 10 minutes before the end, Phil. Okay. If you would play that for the folks.
Don't hesitate. Don't wait. Don't procrastinate. Don't put it off. Take a step of faith toward God this moment. The greatest miracle of your life. Pick up your phone. Do it right now. Go to rodparsley.com. Send your prayer request and request a prayer cloth from our altar. But now listen.
Here it starts.
Let me talk to you very seriously for just a moment. That is a great step of faith, but it's only the initial one. I want to encourage you, hear me closely, to take the next step. Here's what I know. The anointing that you sow into is the anointing, according to God's word, that you have a right to receive from. This is the moment. Your God appointed, as we've discussed, portal. When God wants to make a course correction in your future, it won't occur again for another 100 years, this opportunity. It's no coincidence that you're watching this broadcast. No coincidence that God spoke to me when I was in that great church just a few miles up the road. No coincidence that God prophetically 100 years ago declared there'd be a portal open.
Yeah.
Before the foundations of the earth was made, God scheduled an appointment. 12, 12, 12. And now, he's waiting for an expression of your faith toward him.
There it is.
So let me encourage you right now. Combine your praying and your seed faith giving. Hannah did it in your Bible. Cornelius did it in your Bible. They sowed a gift into the work of God. I'm encouraging you right now to mingle your faith and your sowing. $25, $50, $100. You know, your seed's the only influence you have over your future. I certainly don't know the magnitude of your need. I don't know the depths of your despair, but God does. What I do know that God doesn't simply fulfill a need. God's never moved by need. Did you hear me? God is never moved by need. But when he sees faith release, he'll always give you an instruction that places a demand on your faith. And your response to that instruction determines the future you create. God has already, I believe it, placed a seed in your hand right now that can change everything forever. All you need to do is pick up that phone. Dial that toll-free number on your screen or go to that secure website, rodparsley.com. Do it right now. You're not responsible to perform a miracle, only to begin a miracle with a seed sown in faith. And remember, God's miracle is always manifested by what he does when you simply obey. Whatever God's speaking to your heart right now, allow it to become the catalyst for your faith.
Is that not defy description? Yeah, same thing. Paula, the concept is exactly the same. Did everybody hear what she said? Pray people out of purgatory. It's the same thing. Money, you know, to get God to give it to the priest to get God to do something for you. And then one thing that stuck out to me glaringly, he said, it was in the first segment, was when he said, you know, if you'll do this, God's going to cancel Satan's agenda against you. Wow. I wish he were right. We'd be sending him an offering from this church. Satan's not going to stop fighting because some whacked out televangelist announces that. No. He's in effect saying that by doing what he's telling you to do, that, you know, it'll end all your trouble with the devil. I can't believe that. No wonder the world laughs at us. As I watched this with my brother-in-law, Jim, who's in from Florida last night, I told him, I said, Jim, Saturday Night Live can't come up with stuff this good. I'm serious. They can't come up with a parody that will match something like this. And this is what the world is looking at when they're thinking this is what church is about. No wonder they're so skeptical about all of us. But praise God. That's why I thank God for the presence of the Holy Spirit in our little church. May not be many of us, but his presence is here. And that means more to me, and I know it does to you, than anything. But do you see the lateness of the hour in which we're living? I mean, Jesus said in John 7, you know, that many false prophets would arise and deceive many. and you're seeing demonic deception right there. I think you could probably actually feel it, couldn't you? The spirit of the devil, and again, you notice it's all God. Just like the universalists, all God, no mention of Jesus Christ. No mention of what he did on the cross. It's all coming, and if you were to watch this whole thing, and I took the time to show you this tonight because it is so far out. I was afraid some of you might think that, oh, Pastor, we know you get a little bit overdramatic or maybe, you know, a little bit hyperbolic in your preaching sometimes, maybe just to hold our attention. And I want you to know, please don't ever think that. I don't do that. I try to give it an honest portrayal as I possibly can. And it's that bad right now. It is that bad right now. And they take something that is found in the Word of God, like all false prophets do, and turn it into something that God never intended. I want you to look with me in your Bibles in Acts chapter 8. I'm sorry, that's a wrong. Make that Acts 19. I'm sorry, Acts 19, verse 11. Now, what they're talking about, these prayer cloths, that is a scriptural thing. And if God leads you, if God speaks to you to do so, I see no harm in praying over a prayer cloth, but your faith can't be in that prayer cloth. Okay? And I'm not so sure. I'm going to be frank with you on this. I hope I don't make anybody mad at me. I'm not so sure that according to Scripture that God intended for us to do that. Now, I'm going to read to you from Scripture tonight why. Acts chapter 19, beginning at verse 11. This is talking about the ministry of Paul, and this is the only place in Scripture really where this occurs. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. Now the emphasis here, of course, first and foremost on God. And God. It was a sovereign move of God. God, we can't put him in a box. He has latitude to do what he wants to do, when he wants to do it. But humans, we as humans sometimes think, well, it happened one time, maybe, you know, and if we'll try to force God's hand, well, we'll do the same thing and try and copy it. And I'm not saying God would not move this way again. But what I am saying is that I don't believe the Holy Spirit, unless he specifically speaks to do something like this again, that he was instituting a practice. And let me give you another biblical example of what I'm talking about. In the Church of God, we used to be affiliated with. Technically, according to Church of God doctrine, you should never take communion without having a foot washing service. They believe that a foot washing service must be done in conjunction with communion, or should be. Now think of that. And when Jesus got down to wash the disciples' feet, in my opinion, and I always believed it, and that's why I believe if you want to do it, I don't believe there's really no spiritual harm in it, but I do not believe Jesus was instituting an ordinance of the church as it related to foot washing, because he didn't say that. Now, with communion, obviously he did. He said, as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. You know, he was instituting an ordinance of the church there. So just because it occurred in Scripture, we must discern the mind of the Spirit and just not automatically take it upon ourselves. Well, bless God, they did it. Let us do it. You know, that's not necessarily a good practice to get into. Does everybody understand what I'm saying here? Unless the Holy Spirit specifically speaks to you to do it. So the emphasis here, it says, and God wrought special miracles. And that word special in Greek literally means unusual or unique. You know, we can't. And that's what so much of the religious world gets into, wanting to copy some preacher who's supposedly having success. I remember back when Benny Hinn was at his zenith, we had about four preachers running around Newark, Ohio, that had no Jewish heritage at all and were speaking with an accent all of a sudden. Really. You heard them preach. I listened to several of the tapes. I remember laughing at it at the time because the way Benny Hinn says Holy Ghost, it's Holy Ghost. And they were preaching this way. They start calling the Holy Ghost the Holy Ghost. When the Holy Ghost moves. You know, just because God does it once does not mean that we should take it upon ourselves to automatically. Okay, you see what I'm saying? To automatically adopt that practice. He could speak to us to do it And if he does, by all means, let's do it. But here it says God wrought God at this point in time for his unique purposes, wrought special, unique, unusual miracles by the hand of Paul. Let's go on. So that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Now, do you notice something here? They didn't anoint the prayer cloths with oil. So that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. And it doesn't even say Paul did it. Now, let's look at Scripture here. Let's examine Scripture. Now, how many of you in this practice down through the years, you know, you've anointed that prayer cloth with oil? I've done it before, you know. You know, but here, and this is the only instance in Scripture this occurred, you don't find them anointing it with oil. And God chose to do this, to get his message. Know this, everything God does is for one reason, to glorify Jesus Christ and to get the message of Jesus Christ out to a lost and dying world. And maybe this was the only way at this point in time God saw to get these folks' attention to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. God does nothing haphazardly or by happenstance. So do you see what I'm saying when I say I personally, and I've prayed about this all week, wanting to make sure that the Lord, and this is my personal, I'm giving you a personal opinion now. I don't believe God was instituting here a practice for us to go around putting cloths on people. You know, it was special and unique by the hand of Paul in that day. And God may sometimes speak to us to do something special and unique, okay? But that's the mind of man. That's where man gets in the way and messes up the Word of God. Well, hey, let's try that. You know, the same Perry Stone, I'll get to you in just a second. The same Perry Stone that you saw on here, he's the one you heard me talk about 4 years back. He was on, he called it the Meal That Heals, where he was selling little communion sets. And if you took communion twice a day, you'd get healed, you'd get rich, you know, your feet won't stink anymore. All kind of wonderful things would happen if you just took communion twice a day. You know, now it's obviously in Scripture that we should have communion. But our faith is not in, that goes back to what Paul said, that's Catholic doctrine. Our faith is not in that wafer and that gulp of grape juice. Our faith is in whom sacrificed for us and what those represent. Okay? So that shows you, you know, the concept is the same here as these prayer cloth things. You know? It's just a fad these guys have created to raise money. Let me just get right to the chase. It's a fad they've created to raise money. That's what the purpose-driven life was all about. It was a fad created to raise money. And my Lord, I've thought about it all the time. I thought, man, if you wanted to get rich in the evangelical world, it'd be so easy. You just got to find something scriptural and take it to an unscriptural level and present it to people as a work. If you do this, God will do this for you. And you'll get rich. I guarantee you. You get to the right marketing people and you'll get rich. But do you see the lateness of the hour? I wanted to take the time to show you this tonight and let you see here's the fulfillment of what Jesus was talking about when he said, beware of ravening wolves, for they go about in sheep's clothing. You're seeing wolves in sheep's clothing on that tonight. There's no concern about the people of God. There's no concern about doing God's will. The thing is to raise money. Now, you had a statement you wanted to make. Sure. Yeah, and Paul didn't even give them out. It was the people that took them off of him. Uh-huh, exactly. Well, people just believe like the Bible says in the book of James, you know, if there are any sick among you, is there any afflicted in James chapter 5, call for the elders of the church and anoint them with oil. Oil throughout Scripture is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. Now there, God's given us a specific way to do something. Do you see the difference? The Word tells us there, call for the elders of the church and anoint the sick with oil. Okay? He's given a specific command there. You know, but here there's no specific command to do this, but that oil represented the Holy Spirit. I guess folks thought, you know, like when you lay hands on somebody and anoint them with oil, you know, if your concept's the same on that prayer cloth. Okay, you had something else? Somebody else had a hand up, I thought. Who was it? Somebody? Okay. So, guys, let me take you back here now to Acts chapter 8. Man, we got to hurry. We'll close on this tonight. Acts chapter 8, verse 18. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money. Simon was a sorcerer. And when the apostles were laying hands on people, and there was no power in the apostles, the power always rests in Jesus Christ. Know that. Never, never, never make the mistake. I don't care how even God uses an individual to bless you and to build you in the Lord. The power is in Jesus, never in a man. The anointing, as she eloquently put it, it's of God. And they talk about in this video the transference of anointing. Like they're going to do it. They're going to transfer. They say it. I'm going to transfer flat out. I'm going to transfer my anointing onto this prayer cloth, and we're going to transfer our anointing onto people. That anointing is not theirs. They're deifying themselves by saying that. They're making themselves God. We can't. The anointing belongs to the Holy Spirit, and it's given by Jesus Christ. There's no, God forbid, the Lord wouldn't trust us to play with something as precious as His holy anointing as human beings. And anybody who has a deep and abiding respect for Jesus Christ and understands the holiness of the Holy Spirit, it's utter blasphemy. It's blasphemy to suggest that you're going to transfer anointing to somebody. That laying on of hands that is commanded in Scripture is merely symbolic. And when Simon saw this going on, the apostles praying for people to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, this is another proof that the initial evidence of being baptized in the Holy Spirit is speaking with other tongues. Because Simon saw something supernaturally happen when they lay hands on these people. He was hearing something that was tangible and could be seen and heard. And obviously what it was they were speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. Otherwise, if I just walk up to Mike and I said, Mike, receive the Holy Spirit. You know, it's like our Baptist brothers and sisters say, you know, and nothing happens. Well, what did Simon want then? Something was obviously happening. That this sorcerer said, hey, man, I want that power. Something's happening with these guys. And it was the people they were praying for to receive the Holy Spirit were being baptized in the Spirit and then speaking in tongues as the Holy Spirit gave the utterance. But he wanted to buy it. And that's exactly what they're suggesting right there, that you can buy the anointing. Witchcraft. It's witchcraft. It's pure witchcraft. So, church, we need to look up. I'm not going to end on a negative note. We who have our faith in Jesus Christ and are experiencing the mighty moving of the Holy Spirit in our lives as individuals and in this little church corporately, we can shout, we can rejoice, because soon and very soon, like the Holy Spirit spoke to Abby, I love it, I'm coming, praise God, not too much song, yeah, let's give Him a hand of praise, hallelujah, praise God, well, you've been a great class tonight. I normally don't play videos, but I thought it was so important that you see this. I mean, so you could see an example before your very eyes of wolves in sheep's clothing and false prophets at work under a demonic anointing. Not a Holy Spirit anointing, a demonic anointing, because you can tell the difference. Demonic anointing always leads you back to the individual. Demonic anointing always glorifies man. Those two are no different than rock stars who play rock and roll music, because they're in it for themselves and for money. Praise God that we know the truth. Amen. Aren't you glad that Jesus opened your eyes to what He did for us on the cross? I told Him this week as I was preparing this, I said, Lord, I thank You so much. I do not know why, because I'm a stupid person. I mean, I really am. And I'm like, Lord, thank you for your grace and mercy in giving me the revelation of the cross. For whatever reason, your grace and mercy decided to give it to me and put me in a church and allow me to pastor people who want you, Jesus. What a privilege. What an honor. Thank you for being a great class tonight. Again, as we close, if you haven't and you can, pay Jess tonight. We're going to write one check from the church. You can probably still pay her on Sunday if you don't have it tonight, because I don't. I forgot to stop the ATM before coming to church. I think I left my checkbook at home, so I'll pay her on Sunday. But please be with us if you can. That's going to be a great time in the service and following. We want you with us, and don't let finance be a hindrance. You're part of our family here. I'm trying to think if there's anything else I need to announce. I think that's everything, except remember, mark your calendars. Last Wednesday night, we'll have service after tonight until January 9th, okay? Am I forgetting anything, Chris, that we need to announce? They've got some great, great music lined up on Sunday morning. You'll be blessed. They do every Sunday morning, but you'll be especially blessed. So I believe the message will bless you. Would you stand? Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and I'll shut up. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for the knowledge of Jesus Christ, Lord, and him crucified. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We thank you so much for the precious presence of the Holy Spirit of God in our lives and in our church services. Lord, that's everything to us. Lord, we want that above all else. We need that above all else. And Lord, just keep us grounded. Keep our eyes focused in this last day. Keep us excited, knowing that soon, not very much longer, the trump of God is going to sound, and we're going to meet Jesus Christ in the air. Praise God forevermore. Keep that thought in our minds, Lord Jesus. Amen and amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.